Apparently, New York accents haven't changed in 65 million years.
It doesn't matter. Do you know who does the narration?
No, because I didn't get narration. Okay. I just got, like, claymation dinosaurs and then time warp.
Is this a Naomi fact?
No, Naomi doesn't have facts. Naomi just yells about things on the internet.
Welcome, applauders, to this month's podcast. I am Jen McQuaid.
Oh, you. I am Naomi McQuaid.
And I'm Lydia Malcolm, and you know what we're doing because you clicked on the thing.
Can you even, Lydia? Like, I can't. Like, I feel like I haven't chosen in a while, except I'm sure I have, but Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Do you see me dancing? Do you see me dancing?
I do, and I love you dancing. How did the three of us come to this movie in the year of our Lord, 1993.
Well, this was just like one of those movies that was on network television because it was easy enough to, you know, kind of show to kids without having to edit everything out. So I think, like, what was that? You know, in Blazing Saddles, where there was like the TV edit, mm-hmm. but then there was the actual movie where they had the, like, pretty much, you know, take out a lot of stuff from the TV edit. Mm-hmm. This movie, not so much. Like, there, you could pretty much get away with a lot of keeping the movie in there and not taking it out because there's, like, no swear words and there's no, like, you know, suggestive dialogue.
Well, they had the audience that they were aiming for, right? And I get that. And I cannot tell you, on my part, where I came into this movie. But I can tell you that it fits in the same genre as, like, my top two or three movies of all time. Like, it gives me Tank Girl vibes.
Really? It does.
It does. And then, I can't pull the next one out of my but, like, it really, production quality and just the beauty of this film, I will fight for, I think, for the entirety of this podcast. And I'm going to do it this whole time.
Well, I won't fight you on you fighting for this this movie, because, like, that's kind of what I did with Lady in the Water. But I came through this from just, like, you know, hey, I really like watching movies when I was a kid. And this was something that I could watch and my parents not, like, really cause waves about. Mm-hmm. So was that kind of, like, something in your household? Like, you just watched it, or did you go and see this in the theaters?
I can't tell you that I watched this in the theaters, but it would have been unfettered by my parents' opinions. I would have just watched this movie 100%.
What about you, Jen?
I'm positive we saw this in the theater. We used to have a couple of theaters right next to each other. That seemed to be like a common theme no matter where I moved. Like, it was that way in Federal Way, but it was also that way in Silverdale, Bremerton area. They had, like, you know, they had an AMC theater, and then they had a whatever the equivalent of, like, a Century theater would be back then. But
did you have, like, a $1 theater?
Yes, we did. That was a little bit further away. I just remember there having, we had multi, they were smaller theaters, but I think there was maybe one in the Silverdale Mall. I don't remember. But yes, we definitely saw it. It was in the same place that we saw, Terminator 2. I was young, but I remember watching Terminator 2 in the theaters too. And that was about the same time. Was that 92? Well, I'm sure that it was not something my mom really wanted to see. It was probably something our dad took us to. But we would put up with the fact that we were going with my dad to see Super Mario Brothers for sure. Because we had, like, the Nintendo Power magazine, and we'd been reading all the behind-the-scenes stuff for a couple of months.
Do you have advance. Like do you have like super behind the scenes things? Because I don't know.
Was that a sentence?
No, it wasn't. I said I don't remember any of the behind the scenes anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't a ton of stuff. It was mostly a couple of production stills and some sanitized interviews from actors. But that was Nintendo Power, you know. If there was a Nintendo-related thing outside of Nintendo, they were going to definitely write about it.
Jen, do you have some Sean facts you want to drop right now?
Sean facts?
Oh, we don't have a theme song yet.
Sean facts.
Sean facts.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
Why?
It's great. It's better than my like entire symphony that was like a rock opera. It was like Repo the Genetic Opera of theme songs for Sean facts.
Yeah, I certainly do have some Sean facts for this. Inserted is actually a few, at least one prominent, definitely just Sean adding editorial comments to this movie. But yes, some of them are actual factuals. And then at least one right at the top of the page, on page one, Sean says, special note, Mario! Really?
Yes.
His freaking name in the credits is Mario?
I might have to change my name to Lydia, or Lydia Mario.
Also, now we get to discuss budget and box office. I will provide you first with the budget, and then you can tell me what your closest to number is for box office.
I super did not look this up for this exact moment.
Good.
The budget was $48 million.
That explains the CGI.
Are you sure?
Titanic was like $200 million.
Okay, $40 million is a quarter of Titanic.
Yeah, 48.
Less than, just under a quarter.
That's what I meant.
Okay, Naomi, what's your box office prediction?
$48 million, and this movie had to have made...
$75 million in order to make its money back.
This movie made $90 million.
Lydia?
Okay. With how I know that this movie was kind of derided in the early 2000s, makes me think that it probably wasn't. And the fact that, you know, get on, get up, get on the floor, everybody walk the dinosaur was not a huge hit. It wasn't like the turtle rap from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, I'm a 90s kid. I'm going to say that it probably did not make all of its money back. I'm going to say that it was like $50 million.
Okay. So we have a $50 million, and what was yours, Naomi?
I believe it was $90
million. Yes,
all right. So neither of you went over, which is good.
Good.
I'm closest without passing. I'm close. I press
okay,
is right rules.
It's never been the price is right.
Always ever
you would
been.
Still win.
Like Lydia,
you would
I would
still
like,
win.
I mean, like, I think I made the night.
You would still win.
Like I made it.
You would still have made it. But we do not do price is right rules.
Why? Sorry.
So how much did this movie make?
$38.9 million.
$38.9 million?
$10 less than its budget.
But then we both would have gone over. Because I said $50 million, and Naomi said $90
million. Oh, I'm thinking of that in the reverse. That's my fault. I'm thinking of it like... No, never mind. So I will do some editing there. But,
Or not. The people like to hear us... up.
It's harder when it's like when you're trying to do the math on something that like the investment wasn't even made. So because most of the time we can guess what it is and come, you know, relatively close.
$38 million
is what it made in the theaters.
No, it's what it cost to make.
No, the cost of it was $48
million. Oh shit, it lost $10 million?
Yeah, plus all of marketing and stuff.
They had to have made it up on that song.
I thought the Walk the Dinosaur song came out before this movie, and it was just so in alignment with the movie that they put it out. Does anybody know what year Walk the Dinosaur was released?
So I want to say this was the song. Yeah, it was the song called Walk the Dinosaur.
Yeah.
By Wass, not Wass. Don't know if that, this is from the Wikipedia.
Wass, not Wass?
Yeah. Walk the Dinosaur is a song by Wass, not Wass, released in 1987 from their album, What's Up, Dog? So it came out like, it looked like it became a hit in 1988, which was about five years. I know math. Don't look at me like that, Naomi. Pitch. Don't look at me like that.
Pitch be looking at people like how she be looking. I believe you.
Yeah, 5 years before the movie came out. So it like
it was a one hit wonder.
Yeah, the fact that this like happened, the fact that this song was put into the movie 5 years after it was a hit is a bit of a, you know, like you could have done maybe better.
I feel like that's why I don't associate that song with this movie.
Agreed.
Okay. So, children.
Do we have more Sean facts?
We have 2 pages of Sean facts, like 2 full pages of Sean facts.
Sean.
Some of these.
Look at you getting your facts all over us.
Like, some of these are deleted scene things that will be easier to insert when we're talking related to those or close to those scenes. But I've got at least half of a page that I'd like to get to before, you know, I'll maybe add the rest of them at the end, but...
Jen?
We have literally gone through 2 lines of Sean facts.
I'm gonna let you go and see how far you go before I start interrupting you. Go on.
Bob Hoskins...
Hey, wait a second.
That was intentional and it doesn't mean anything.
You're ruining my morale. This is like my moment to be able to speak during our show for the most part.
Jen, get your voice out there. What?
Bob Hoskins didn't know that the film he was making was based on a video game until his son asked him what he was working on. And when Hoskins mentioned the film's title, his son immediately recognized it. Obviously, I think most of us out of a certain age would recognize Super Mario Brothers. Although Hoskins said that this is the worst film he ever made, his son, Jack, is a fan of the film, praising his dad's performance. He said that he was too young to understand the poor reviews, and now that he's old enough, he doesn't care.
Agreed. Go
hell,
Jack.
Hell yeah.
All right. Here's the next one. This is actually kind of in scene, but there are 2 injuries. Maybe I'll just mention that. There are 2 injuries by main actors that they had to cover up in this movie. And one of those is because allegedly of drinking. And also in 2007, an autobiography of John states that he and Bob Hoskins hated working on the film and would frequently get drunk to make it through the experience. So they did not like the movie that they were doing. After the film bombed at the box office, Nintendo stopped producing live-action theatrical films based on their video game franchises for a long time. They did have several Pikachu movies that were animated, but can anybody name what the movie was that they came back and did a live-action film for?
Detective Pikachu!
Yes.
I think that clipped pretty hard.
Oh, we should do it again.
Detective Pikachu!
Love that movie.
It was Detective Pikachu. Their next live-action movie is going to be Super Mario Brothers.
With Chris Pratt.
Actually, I'm sorry, that is an animated film.
Oh, it's animated? Okay.
Yeah, because it's going to be the voice of Chris Pratt. The next part is deleted scene stuff, so I'll talk about that in, you know, close relation to those scenes. And now I have a related story from Dennis Hopper, actor who played King Koopa in this movie. Dennis Hopper explained why he did the film. I made a picture called Super Mario Brothers, and my 6-year-old son at the time, he's now 18, within quotes, he says, "Dad, I think you're probably a pretty good actor, but why did you play that terrible guy King Koopa in Super Mario Brothers?" And I said, "Well, Henry, I did that so you could have shoes." And he said, "Dad, I don't need shoes that badly."
Yeah, da, 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 da.
Wow. That joke bombed like a thwomp.
Yeah.
Dropped and bombed like a thwomp.
It do be doing that. Okay.
John Leguizamo was not the first actor considered for the role of Luigi.
Shut your
heresy.
Sex worker
heresy.
Mouth.
Heresy.
Shut your sex worker mouth.
Would you like to guess who Luigi was going to be?
Is it really good?
It is so, it is like, it's what you want out of a, just like the worst story ever. Like the thing that would have ended this actor's career completely.
Was it Ross from Friends?
Was it Arnold Schwarzenegger?
It was someone who was incredibly popular at the time, but had a couple of flops.
I have no idea.
No, not.
Tom Hanks was considered for the role of Luigi, but okay. The failures of Turner and Hooch and throwback Joe versus the Volcano led the studio to believe Hanks was no longer a box office draw. Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel were hired to direct the film based on their work on Max Headroom in 1987.
That seems like a million years between 1993 and...
87 and 83.
That would be 6 years.
Seems like a lot because that was during our childhood, and childhood always seems to last longer. So, the first screenplay was written by Oscar-winning screenwriter Barry Morrow, or Morrow. I think it's Morrow. His story followed brothers Mario and Luigi on an existential road trip, and it was so similar to Morrow's prior Rain Man in 88 that the production titled the script Drain Man, because of plumbers.
Because the people who potentially worked on that script also worked on Rain Man. So it would go Rain Man, Drain Man in their IMDb?
Well, it wouldn't, that wouldn't really what they would call the movie. It was just like, you know, what they would title it and like nickname it. So movie stars, Oscar nominees, Bob Hoskins and Dennis Hopper were in this movie as, and also one Oscar winner, Fisher Stevens, producer Roland Jaffe, J-O-F-F-E, Jaffe? I don't know. Composer Alan Silvestri.
It's probably real dumb like Jeff.
How is it spelled again?
J-O-F-F-E with an accent.
Jaffe.
Yeah. Sounds like like Jaffe.
Production designer David L. Snyder and editor Mark Goldblatt are all Oscar nominees working on this film. Director of photography Peter Levy is also an Oscar winner. And in 2013, Stephen Applebaum and Ryan Haas teamed up with one of the original film's writers to create a webcomic sequel to the film published on the internet the same year. The comic sees Mario and Luigi returning to Dino Hatton with Daisy to tend to her revived father, only to find out that Wart is planning to overthrow the city. Who's Wart in Super Mario Brothers?
I'm not sure.
Me neither. I'm sure somebody can comment on a thing, or I'll keep going, and we'll figure it out. Several weeks before shooting was to begin, Walt Disney Company purchased the distribution rights to the film and demanded significant rewrites. Morton said the final result was a script that was not at all like the script that he, Jankel, and the cast had signed on to film, and that the tone of the new script was not at all compatible with the sets, which had already been built. Super Mario Bros. Innovated and introduced many techniques considered pivotal in the transition from practical to digital visual effects. It is the first film to have used the software Autodesk Flame, now an industry standard. It is also the first film scanned with a digital intermediate, allowing for the compositing of more than 700 visual effects shots, and the disintegration effect for the interdimensional merge, we'll talk about later, was inspired by the transporter from Star Trek. There is a Morton Jankel cut that Lydia, at least, had watched and we started watching. That is on the Internet Archive, internetarchive.org, if you would like to check that out. It has 30 minutes of additional footage and was deemed worthy of archive production or distribution. That was released on June 1st of last year. So that's very recent that came out, but it has 30 minutes of deleted scenes. There was an official music video for Almost Unreal, which is the song that appears at the first part of the opening credits. Roxette, someone named Roxette sings that. And I think that that might be as far as I'm going to go. And the rest will be in scene or somewhere close to it.
All right. So, yes, as Jen said, I watched the VHS rough edit on the internet. And it was like, I got the notes for it. And a lot of the scenes don't really matter too much. There are a few that I wanted to kind of point out when we get to them as being like, yeah, these were in the edits. So I'll just kind of note those as we go through. But I guess we're going to be going into the plot.
Hey, girl. Hey, girls.
Dinosaurs.
So... the different
opening, so opening animation.
The very first difference is that you got to explore some beautiful stop animation bullshit. And
it looked like just regular animation, but it was like low resolution. It was very much like 8-bit resolution.
I think what Naomi is referring to is the Morton edit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you got stuck with stop animation.
Yeah, like royalty-free dinosaur footage.
Yeah, God bless it worked in Dinosaur Island, that one softcore porno that I watched that one time.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Let it live wherever you are. So,
but you got stuck with 80, like campy 80s animation.
I'm a brontosaurus. I'm a triceratodon of some kind.
They're
and then
in,
I was like, I'm gonna just do the
They're dinosaurs in New York, and they all got stereotypical New York accents.
65 million years ago, it said.
Apparently, New York accents haven't changed in 65 million years.
It doesn't matter. Do you know who does the narration?
No, because I didn't get narration. Okay. I just got, like, claymation dinosaurs and then time warp.
Is this a Naomi fact?
No, Naomi doesn't have facts. Naomi just yells about things on the internet. It's Dan Castanella.
Castellaneta.
I never say his last name right.
It's Homer Simpson. That's the most 90s thing that is ever 90s in a 90s movie.
I think I'll just voice these dinosaurs and I'm just going to be like...
Both of them? Both of them.
I assume
so. The narrator and the dinosaurs.
I think so because I don't know.
I love it.
Be talking for dinosaurs and being like, we're in Brooklyn, blah, blah, blah. It's dumb. And then he's gone, Lids, and he never comes back. And that's all I've ever asked of a narrator.
So this is the second movie in a row where we start out with narration.
Yeah, but like, it's dumb. It doesn't work.
It's pseudoscience, too. It's a whole bunch of like, well, you know how the dinosaurs... became extinct 65 million years ago. Well, remember how that's like that was a meteor? Well, it turns out that was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and that doesn't work out science-wise, but here's what does please my brain, that they play Nintendo music over it. They're like, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, yes! And they give us these... bad pixel dinosaurs, and we just like we're like it's fine. They get scared by a skunk, which probably didn't exist then, and then and that was 65 million years ago, and then we're like, oh no, the lady be leaving a baby. Are we here now? Are we in this?
Yeah, it says 20. It goes to like there's this time warp through a tunnel as the narrations go in on your end. On mm-hmm. my end, it was just like a Doctor Who adjacent. And then it flashes with a time card that says 20 years ago.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. So 65 million years ago, that was when the dinosaurs got obliterated. And then it was like 20 years ago. And then a baby gets placed and we will discuss. And then it's like,
it's a tragic... Okay, so basically we see this woman running through the streets. She's holding something, and she drops it off in front of a nunnery. Or it's just this random building. We find out later that it's a nunnery, not the important thing. The important thing is that she puts this stone on the front of it and then covers it with a cloth. But I think at one point we do see Dennis Hopper in the streets looking for this woman. Also, this woman is Samantha Mathias, who also plays a main character later on. So, you know, spoilers for a movie that came out close to 30 years ago. It's pretty much Samantha Mathias plays Daisy, and she also plays her mom in this scene.
Super not mad about this, except that, like, casual child abandonment is apparently a thing.
My notes just say tragic backstory. Dennis Hopper, nuns with egg?
Hopper only, in the theatrical release, he doesn't show up until the quake that is a spoilers, killed the mom.
Right. It's not until the sewer scene.
But he does show up in the other edit, and he, like, there's a note somewhere from Sean that says that, like, oh, it's actually in here. An extended sequence of Koopa chasing Daisy's mother in New York was featured, and that showed him gazing admiringly at the buildings which would later inspire his warped construction projects in Dino Hatton. So here's our first little hint at who Koopa...
Jen, hate to stop you. What did you just call Dinotopia?
Dino Hatton, as in Manhattan, but instead of man, yeah. It's Dino Hatton. Because you got to take the man out of there. Because he's not a mammal.
I hate that so much.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
F*** off then. Go on.
So he's a real estate boss,
mm-hmm.
This guy,
mm-hmm.
This Koopa.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for me now.
Right. And so Daisy's mother goes, there's this really nice shot of her going through the tunnel with the light behind her and everything. And it's very like slow motion. It seems a bit theatrical or like, you know, really art house filmish with how slow-mo it's going. Like you can hear her breathing and everything. Not the point. The point is at the very end of that tunnel, she sees Dennis Hopper. And it's at this point that we learned his name, which is Koopa. And I was like, Koopa, not Bowser? You know, the prime antagonist for most of the mm-hmm. Mario games?
Nope.
Nope, it's Koopa. In this movie, Dennis Hopper plays Koopa. Oh,
because...
Okay. Oh, is there a Sean fact about this?
No, but okay. there is a Bowser character in this movie.
Right.
I don't want to say who yet.
Well, we can bring that up because I saw that on the IMDb. But in order to stop Koopa from getting this child, Daisy's mother causes a quake in the tunnel. And I feel like
After he grabs her by the throat and is like, where's the rock?
Oh, yeah. The rock that we saw on the bassinet.
Oh, I got opinions about that bassinet, can I say?
Go for it.
Like, okay, so I get they got like... baby carriages later on and whatever, but that was a very fancy box with a stone inlay thing, and the nuns were like, ooh, and then like it just seemed like so much, and then he's like, where's the rock? Obviously not on her.
Right, because throughout this entire scene, we also see the nuns open up the door, bring in the bassinet, and when they open up the bassinet, there's not a baby in there, there's an egg. And so it's as Daisy's mother is cracking the tunnel and blocking in Koopa. Mm. And I think also kind of like killing herself in the process, mm-hmm. but not really intending that. You see the egg break. And from this egg, we have a human child.
Human? Does human count?
She looks human. And as us, as people who come into the movie and we're like, hey, that looks like a normal human baby. We don't have all the facts at this point. Turns out she's a reptilian baby who just looks human. I don't know how evolution works, but I don't know if it would be accurate. I'm not trying to think too hard about the movie.
Okay, so we cut to the apartment of the Mario Brothers.
Time card. Brooklyn now.
Yeah. Like 20 years later. So I do think that Luigi Mario, I like to think, is like 24, 25 years old. And Mario, I like to think, is probably like a 30, maybe. How old do you think these characters are canonically?
Luigi is about the age of Daisy because they're...
So like 24, 22.
Maybe a little bit older than Daisy, so 22, 24. He's young. He's definitely not Tom Hanks. But, you know, me thinking of Tom Hanks is always like America's dad. But he isn't, like back then. He's
once upon a time, he was America's heartthrob.
He's Joe from Joe versus the Volcano at this point. But as John, it's our Bruno.
Right. I mean, like, inside the movie, I kind of feel like that Luigi Mario is in his early 20s. That's the way it just kind of feels. But
he's,
I mean,
just so young.
Outside of the movie, he was, what was that, 29 when the movie got released?
Oh, he is such a delicate flower. Okay, so we're past a child abandonment and the fancy case they made for a child abandonment.
Instead, we are in an apartment with two men. One of John Leguizamo's character, Luigi Mario, is laying on the couch watching like the early 90s version or the generic version of Ripley's Believe It or Not.
The Miraculous World.
It reminds me of like Six Sad World from Daria, only what? Like...
100%. So Mario is like, we got a job, because he's on the phone. And then Luigi Mario is like, he shoves this pin thing on his face. And I know we have to get through so many notes so very, very fast. But those pin thingies, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there was a fad in the 90s that was like a frame and then a grid of pins in that frame. And then you would push that frame against a solid three-dimensional object.
And you invariably did it against your face and or your middle finger, which was also hilarious. But they are the germiest. I hate them so much. Like, it makes the fire burn out of my face, in my ears. Like, just like... Madeline Kahn style, like
they had them at Disney World when I was there as a kid too, except it was a whole table and you could go underneath the table and put your hands or feet.
I think the important thing that that this scene is trying to get across is the theme of the movie, which is believing makes things possible, because that's kind of like Luigi's motto, and you hear it repeated throughout the entire movie.
That is accurate.
And then don't they like leave for the job, and then Luigi's driving and he even like goes ahead and is like, I got a feeling about this street, and so he goes ahead and goes on this street, and Mario's like, that's not the right street,
and they are beat by the Scapelli douches.
Right. I don't think that this is really shown in this movie. Do we have a Sean fact about the deleted scene?
Yeah. Mario and Luigi actually confront the Scapelli brothers, Mike and Doug, in the Riverfront Cafe. They threaten the cafe's owner, Pascal, by invoking their boss's name. Pascal takes Mario aside and offers him and Luigi a free lunch to make it up for them, which leads to another deleted scene, which is the alternate way that they encounter Daisy. And I'm not sure if this was deleted scene or not, but they, Mario and Luigi, they're eating, and Daisy enters the cafe and uses the payphone inside, and she slips on a wet floor as she leaves, and Luigi catches her, and that's how the movie continues.
Yeah, that wasn't in the VHS extended rough cut, but it would have been lovely to see John Leguizamo catch her.
Agreed. That man can, I can be in that man's arms,
right,
and it would be all right.
Also, Scapelli. He's like the first level mini boss.
100%.
And we meet Daisy for the first time as like an adult.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's doing a dig through the college, and she gets actually confronted. We actually see Scapelli after it's brought up, which I really like as far as storytelling goes. They bring up someone who is kind of an antagonist, but only on the peripheral.
Scapelli is the antagonist for both the Mario brothers and for Daisy.
Oh, I have a note that it was a little bit further on, but I'm going to say it now. Okay, so at this point, I have a note that says, Dino Dick in danger from dastardly douche. I got a few of them like this, so.
I f***ing love alliteration. Do it as much as you want.
Right. Oh, also, gross threats from gross man. That was my other line.
Oh my goodness, this man is gross. The tan on that man.
Which man?
Scapelli. Because he makes all these like threats to Daisy, like, you know, it may be bad if this dig got, you know, stopped or something. Meh.
Young ladies have been disappearing in this city lately.
Yeah.
Okay. When she says, I have to go find a phone, it felt so...
1990s?
Yeah, it hurt. Like, I've used a payphone. I've had to rely on payphones. I 100% was like, at the tone, please say the name that you want the person to... Mama, Safeway, please come pick me up in the next 5 minutes, please. Okay, thanks. And Mom did not accept the call, and I did go get picked up.
So it meant that she never had to pay for it?
Uh-huh. So when she's like, thanks for the quarter, I'm like, because you don't know how to work a system. Like, it should have been like a payphone call from a random phone call. Hey, this is Daisy on the corner of something. Please send security to her.
Exactly.
It didn't happen.
You know what else is a free call? A 911 escort.
Did she need one?
Did she feel threatened?
Yeah.
She was threatened.
Well, she did feel like she was getting followed, right? Is that something
she
that we agreed?
Literally followed by Iggy and Spike.
She was. So at this point, as she leaves the dino site, the dino dig site, we see two guys in a car. And I'm going to mention their actors' names because I think they're so wonderful. These are Fisher Stevens as Iggy and Richard Edison as Spike. And they're like kind of like the buffoons of the movie, but they're still so lovable even when they're kind of like malicious. Like they say, oh, that's her. How do you know that's her? And it was like, she's got two arms, one head, and two legs.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. But that's why we think that she knows she was being followed, because she does look behind herself and is just sort of like, you know, is someone following me? I bet someone's following me. And yeah, as she's getting towards the payphone, Spike like literally runs into a plate of glass.
Yeah, it's a great bit. And then 100%. Did you notice they smudged the mirror enough that you could, the glass enough that you could, like, as a viewer, watch it happen? Like, he should have seen it, but mm-hmm. he didn't.
Right.
Hilarious. So
that's a Chaplin gag. It goes all the way back to Chaplin.
100% a Chaplin gag. Okay, now we're at, and thank God we're done with page one of my notes and we can move on. But like, the fact that Luigi ignores a job to pick up on a lady is painful.
Okay, so as before Daisy comes to the payphone, just crazy random happenstance, Mario and Luigi's car breaks down. It's kind of set up in an earlier scene that it's always been making that sound.
For a week.
Right, so Mario goes into a convenience store to pick up some water so they can put it into the radiator. And then he tells Luigi, go and see if we got any jobs. And so Luigi goes ahead and does that thing where you pick up the phone, you type in your phone number, you get into the voicemail, and he gets this voicemail about like, I got water all over the place. You get as many plumbers down here and I'll pay you cash.
Yeah.
And he ignores that.
Because he's too busy staring at Daisy.
It's valid. It's just valid.
Is it? Is it?
I mean, it starts the plot of the movie, so.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. So he hangs up on the people. He gives her a quarter. She calls her people. He goes back to the van. Ma, 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 ma. So then she's like, hey, thank you. And he's all like, hey, girl, what's up? And then he fails horribly until Mario's like, you want to, like, let's go to dinner?
Uh-huh. Right. So Luigi can't really, like, talk to Daisy because he's just so enthralled by her beauty. So Mario, the older brother, goes ahead and starts talking, like, you know, starts, you know, schmoozing her, so to speak. I think Luigi mentions, oh, do you need a ride somewhere? And Mario kind of, like, softens it because it seems a little bit weird that a random person that you just meet, even if you find them attractive, is like, hey, do you need a ride somewhere? Because she doesn't know these guys. But Mario kind of softens it a little bit. He says, look, if you need help, we have a car so we can take you somewhere. And Daisy, and this is another reason why I think we believe that she's being followed, is because of the fact that she looks behind her. And mm-hmm. then she's like, yes, you can take me. And then they take her over to her dig site.
Yeah. And she sits really weirdly in the van. The truck?
Right. It's just like she's standing between the two of them.
Yeah, with like her butt facing the window. It's real weird. So that doesn't really, it's not important. But what we do know is that Mario is the best wingman ever. So they get out of the car, van, truck, whatever. And Luigi's like,
do you eat?
And she's like, yes. He's like, do you eat dinner? And then Mario nudges him as like, tonight, 6 o'clock, you'd be right here. And she's like, uh-huh. And I love her Hermbo. Bimbo. I guess himbo does not need to be masculinated and then re-feminized. Hermbo is like a whole circle. She's a bit of a bimbo. For at least the first...
When it comes to Luigi, she's a bit of a bimbo. And honestly, a same.
Yeah, if John Leguizamo was like, hey girl, I'd be like... Not mad. Okay, so
John, Luigi also says it was lovely to meet me. It was lovely to meet you.
Yeah,
and
he's failing so hard.
I like the line where as she's walking away, you know, there's a lot of little like quips that go between Mario and Luigi in this movie that I absolutely love. Like at one point, Luigi says, "Why did you have to tell her that I suck my thumb?" And I wrote in my notes, "Because he's your brother." He's gonna have to humiliate you at some point.
Not wrong,
but it's not like he said you wet your pants. So I don't think it's that bad.
So at dinner, so like cut to it, right?
Do you want to know what my note is for dinner?
Yeah,
dinner, double date, and dino discussions.
That is so much beautiful alliteration. I'm gonna give you a thumbs up. You're welcome. Okay. They manage a Dodgers joke I don't understand because I'm super West Coast.
I have a scene insertion from Sean.
Do it.
When they're getting ready for this dinner date, Luigi expresses embarrassment at being a plumber, and Mario chastises him and tells him that he has no family pride. That is a thing that was not in the movie.
So, okay. Dodgers joke, exposition. Oh, my God. The exposition. The exposition in this film is stupid, and I wish I'd kept a tally mark because that would be my bullshit meter for this entire film. It happens no less than 10 times, maybe more, but we're going to rush through a lot of this. So at dinner, you should come to my tanning salon. I never take off my necklace. It was when I was left without a father or a mother or whoever. I was abandoned too. Holy Mario has been my dad the whole time because he's an Australian dude and I'm like a Hispanic dude.
He's adopted, okay?
Not a problem.
He used to be rich too. He used to have a whole mansion to himself.
Oh, he was very important. Did he have a...
Yes. You never heard of Luigi's Mansion?
Very important man.
It has a lot of ghosts, I hear, and he has to like clean him up with a vacuum cleaner.
According to game theory, billions. Shush, shush, shush. They kidnap the wrong lady because they think that Dana Kalameski? Did I say that right? Dana Kalameski.
Oh, is that the date for Mario, Daniela?
Daniela Kaminsky?
Dana Kaminsky is how it's...
She's not related to anyone from The Office, is she?
Krasinski?
Shut up. You're not wrong. Anyways. Okay.
I don't mean to sound like incredibly racist at this moment, but isn't that a Polish name?
It sounds...
She looks very... At least they're trying to make her look very, like... She stereotypes.
Looks
like
everybody in New York, you know, they got this accent, you know, even the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. It doesn't matter where you come from. When you come to New York, you got to go and get this accent. You go to classes.
Okay, so... So they steal the wrong lady.
Okay, so this is Iggy and Spike. They steal the wrong lady specifically because they were like, that's the chick, and she's just wearing a disguise.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
So then they go, okay, so Luigi and Daisy go to the excavation site. Thank you. Excavation site. And it's badly marked. It's like, I don't know a lot about science, but I know enough that there should have been like grids and like tags and like little wooden sticks and like colored pieces of plastic.
So what Daisy does is she takes Luigi to this area where they actually have exposed skeleton in a very specific layout.
Yeah.
And these dinosaurs have opposable thumbs. She says that in the text. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fantastic. What we know at this point is that the Scapellis are enemies to both the alternate universe people and the Scapellis are the villains to the excavators and to the plumbers. So they have a mutual enemy, which is a great, actually not too bad, like starting point for some.
Right. So at this point of the excavation, Daisy and Luigi were about to kiss, but they got stopped because of Scapelli.
Scapelli.
And then Luigi's like, oh, I know who you gotta call.
So they call his dad brother guy, Mario.
Right. I love that Luigi is like, I know exactly what to do. And he goes to an expert.
That's not bad. I'm not mad about that. But what I am mad about is that they equate domestic plumbing to industrial plumbing. Those are very different things as far as I know. But like, he's like, I've been around pipes my whole life. And he keeps reiterating how good he is at pipes. And between you, me, and the hole in the wall, I don't doubt that Bob Hoskins is very good at the holes.
Yeah, da, 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 da. So they fix the pipes, and as they after they fix the pipes, Mario and Luigi are knocked out by Iggy and Spike, and Daisy is grabbed because even though they grabbed Daniela that same night, they also had enough time to get Daisy.
Yeah. Cute, sad rock face as she expositions. She's like, oh, I've been trapped into this alternate dimension. You should come save me. And her face is like CGI'd through a wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's badly done.
Right.
And because we've seen better.
Right.
At Return to Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me good stop motion over bad CGI every time.
Agreed.
It was one of the first examples of motion capture. They took a...
They could have eaten my...
Okay, well, if you're not interested in any of the technology improvements that this movie made...
Of course, I do want you to tell me. I'm mad about it visually.
This movie takes a lot of the same, like, initial discoveries or... not really discoveries, but advancements that were made in Willow for morphing techniques and uses that same software that they integrated as an industrial tool and uses it for this. So there's a lot of composition going on where they have filmed an actor's actual face and then superimposed digital, instead of like making a makeup kind of thing, it's so that they can make it look like the face is actually coming out of the rock. And it's a throwback or at least a frame by frame relationship with John Leguizamo with the pins earlier.
That's fair.
So, and then after Daisy gets pushed into the wall, you see Luigi, she like is struggling getting in and out of the wall. And as she struggles out of the wall one last time, she throws her necklace.
Well, it's hanging off her chest and then it's hanging off of her chest and Luigi grabs it.
And Luigi being the like, I got a feeling about this, Mario. And so he just like jumps into the wall, even though Mario says that's solid stone.
Yeah, but the way that Mario goes into it. Okay, so Luigi disappears, right? Mm-hmm. And then Mario is like, he stretches and reaches. He stretches and reaches. And he's like, he's holding one wall. He like falls to the other wall. He's like, and then in the way that cinematography happens sometimes, he like flips upside down and he goes butt first.
You've reached a well-deserved flagpole, but you're not even to a princessless castle yet, applauder. Thank you for joining us for part one of our review of 1993's box office ba-bomb, Super Mario Brothers. Hey, this is your audio engineer and one of a dozen children who remembers the Mario Teaches Typing rap, Jen. Do you like to put words together with your fingers? Of course you do, you nerd. Why not throw some of those amazing works of the English language our way by leaving us a review on podchaser.com, Apple Podcasts, or directly at shockedandapplaud.com. We'll jump super high when we find out you're actually playing along with us. We've still got two more weeks left of our review, and can't wait to share more wild twists and turns through this fan-infuriating film. We'll be back in 1 week with part two. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.